A More Beautiful Life podcast, recognizing, appreciating, and integrating earliest life experiences. There are times in our lives when we all yearn for something. More contact with others, a special relationship, a better job, more time to oneself, more respect, more love, more support, or well, anything. It can all be summed up in wanting a more beautiful life. You just fill in the blank for what equals beauty for you. My specialty is healing our earliest traumas to discover our truest nature. I've been working at understanding this paradigm for a long time. Since 1999, when a client remembered her birth during a craniosacral session. She explained to me that she felt healing her birth experience would relieve her lifelong depression. That experience took hold of me with such passion so that years later I'm filling in the gap between our ancestral past and our present lives with recognition of our earliest life experiences starting preconception. It involves appreciating how we adapted to our difficulties and then integrating any overwhelming experiences into our current lives. Welcome to A More Beautiful Life. This podcast includes luminaries from the fields of infant mental health, prenatal and perinatal psychology, colleagues and experts in trauma resolution, advanced body workers, clients who want to share their stories, authors of pivotal books and articles, and people who, in my opinion, have sought out a more beautiful life. Join me, Kate White, and our honored guest as we explore a more beautiful life. Enjoy. Today on the show, I have Kimberly Ann Johnson. Kimberly is a sexological bodyworker, somatic experiencing trauma resolution practitioner, yoga teacher, postpartum advocate, birth doula, and single mom. She is the author of Call of the Wild, How We Heal Trauma, Awaken Our Own Power, and Use It for Good, as well as the early mothering classic, The Fourth Trimester, A Postpartum Guide to Healing Your Body, Balancing Your Emotions, and Restoring Your Vitality, The Fourth Trimester Cards, and the Fourth Trimester Journal. For a decade, she has been helping women heal from birth injuries, gynecological challenges, and sexual boundary ruptures. She is the creator of Activate Your Inner Jaguar, an online course ushering thousands of women into their full voices and sexual expression, and the host of the Sex Birth Trauma Podcast. You can see more about Kimberly at KimberlyAnnJohnson.com. And today on the show, I have Kimberly Ann Johnson, who's a friend and a colleague and a pilgrim on the path here, helping us to help women, help families, help birthing people heal. And it's wonderful to have you here, Kimberly.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, it was really wonderful to meet you. I think it was earlier this year, you got in touch with me and said, let's just do a podcast on the Mega Mama, which is now the Birth Sex Trauma Podcast. And we did this little podcast, I think it was February this year, we're just ending. And suddenly I had this huge influx of women that were very empowered and also very hurt. And I was very impressed with so many of the women that came to me through you. And I would just love for people to get to know you better and to hear more about the things that you're bringing and things that you offer. Would you mind just telling people a little bit more about yourself, Kimberly?
Sure. Yeah. And I'm glad that podcast impacted. I know it impacted me a lot and I still remember many things from it and people who didn't even contact you, but out in the world that I would meet told me that they got healing just from listening to it. And the transmission of it. So thank you so much for that. And I am very proud also that the people who listen to the podcast and are in the community, most of the guests who come on the podcast say like the people that seek them out are some of their favorite clients. Yeah. So I'm proud of like the community that we're forming.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, I was a yoga teacher and a body worker, structural integration, Rolfing body work. And then I had a baby and my whole life changed and I had to figure out how to heal myself. I also had to figure out how to make what I considered a calling into a career. I became a single mom 9 months after my daughter was born. And I didn't have a particularly quote unquote traumatic birth experience. I had the kind of birth that I wanted, but my healing process was really complicated. And that was complicated also by the fact that I was in a new country, having a birth in a second language, had a new partnership, and a lot of things that were in flux at the same time. And I really, like a lot of people listening, trusted birth and trusted my body. And so it felt like kind of a double-edged, strange situation to be in, to feel like all of a sudden, I don't really understand how things are working anymore. I don't understand how my pelvis is working. I don't understand how my spiritual practice is working. So I went on a journey and I did have a feeling that this was not just personal to me. I had a feeling of there's something, I'm going through something and I know there's some kind of archetypal or collective experience that I'm having. And I can tell that there's some kind of like shrouding or darkness or veil to what I'm experiencing. And I never really followed a mental health model before that. And I thought, okay, if I go take this checklist, which was a little less involved at the time, I'm going to come out as someone who's anxious and depressed because I am incontinent and my vagina is hurting all the time and my lower back is hurting and I can't do all these things that I used to be able to do. And I'm confused about, do I have enough breast milk? Do I not have enough breast milk? How's that even possible? Could it be possible that a mother wouldn't make, like a mother who's been fairly well nourished, so I thought most of my life, not have enough breast milk? And so I just realized, well, anyone would feel depressed or anxious in this situation. So there's got to be a better way to do this. And as life would have it, I got a job opportunity in Thailand and went there with my 2-year-old daughter. And I, at that training, I got body work regularly, Thai massage, and they really knew what they were doing. I happened to have been teaching a yoga teacher training with an anatomist, and when Ellen Heed, who became my mentor, and she said, oh, I'm doing a study on postpartum healing and scar tissue. And I kind of thought, well, scar tissue, like, I don't know. But then she started describing it. And I thought, well, that's actually definitely what's happening. My suturing hasn't healed correctly. And, mm-hmm. and so from that point on, earlier in my life, I had had totally easy periods. I had always avoided doctors. So I really didn't have any negative experiences with OBGYNs. I hadn't had any unwanted pregnancy. So I was like really kind of breezing by as far as women's health is concerned, which I didn't know because I had had such a relatively easy time. Mm-hmm. Well, cut to now I'm having lots of challenges and I'm starting to talk about it and people are just telling me their stories right and left.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to realize, okay, this is a really big problem that very few people are talking about. I learned the word birth injury. I'd never heard of that. I never knew what that was. And then I realized, wow, these statistics are actually really high. And some of this we can see right away. And some of it we don't see till later in life. But we have this assumption that like prolapse just happens because when you get older, everything just falls. And all these things that we can actually trace back to birth experiences. So out of that experience of figuring out how to heal myself without surgery, I wrote my first book, which is the fourth trimester. Mm-hmm. And that came out 4 years ago and it really changed the conversation till now. And so that's been really gratifying because it's translated in like 9 languages. I think we've sold something like 60,000 copies.
Wow.
And yeah. And it entered in it's required reading at some hospitals and doula trainings and prenatal yoga trainings. So that's just been amazing to see that women are speaking more about what their birth experiences are like, and there's more advocacy in the political realm for maternal leave policy.
Yeah.
So things have shifted. There's a lot of things that haven't, but some of them have. And then at the book signings, and at the time I was doing hands-on work, I just realized this isn't actually just people giving birth. This is actually, and I sort of knew that at the time because I was always working at the intersection of sex, birth, and trauma, but there's just so much that happens for us as women in our pelvises. And yes, birth is one of those windows that opens, but there's other ones. And so that drove me to write Call of the Wild, How We Heal Trauma, Awaken Our Empower, and Use It for Good. Because what I found is a lot of the trauma work is coming from academia, and it's coming from white men of a generation older than me. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of great information, and I definitely honor those contributions because they were some of the foundational discoveries for the work that I do. Mm-hmm. But I recognize that principally there wasn't a real understanding of how power works with the nervous system. It's kind of considered an aside. And when we talk about birth and we talk about sex, we're often within power, it's happening within strict power dynamics.
Totally. I am resonating with everything that you've said. And you don't know this, but the first time I saw you was on John Wilkes did a whole series on eHealth Learning where they interviewed you about the fourth trimester. So I got your book and I read it, and I just felt like that should be a required reading. I'm so pleased to hear that it is, because you begin to learn about what happens for women in their pelvises and what the after, how is it to heal, and your writing and your discoveries, your self-discoveries, and the surprises that you had along the way were just very enjoyable, how you integrated them and then became more empowered. I wanted just to say that. And also, just looking at birth, I mean, I know I work a lot with women who have suffered and the things that happen to them. It can be, you know, shock trauma or something that happens because of an urgent need, whether it's to help the baby be born or have surgery like C-section. But a lot of the traumas that I help people with are about this power differential that you've just described, where women are confused. They're like, hey, you're supposed to be helping me have this baby. Instead, I feel hurt here and you're not listening to me. And they're in the middle of having their baby and becoming a family. And so the couple can just get frozen or feel overridden and then just not know how to recover because nobody's there making repair for that or saying, hey, I was out of line. Maybe I shouldn't have threatened you. You know, there's just so much I've seen that happens for women. So just being able to have something I can say, here, read this, or go to this website or listen to this, because this will help you understand. Of course, I can normalize too, but to have someone who's actually written a book about it, who especially how women heal differently than men, I loved that. So would you be willing to say a little bit more about that, Kimberly?
Yeah, so there's a lot of different ways to look at it. But essentially, what I found in working with women and with myself, starting out with myself, is that we're often defaulting into flight responses or freeze responses. So in a predator-prey dynamic, we're often on the prey side of the predator-prey within our nervous system. So I'm not talking about social behavior. I'm talking about physiological patterns.
Yeah.
And so, if those are not our default responses, we might be up in the social nervous system with fawning, which is people pleasing or tolerating or just being super nice. And then, you know, I'm sure you hear this too. It's like, I was so nice to my doctor, but that's not how I felt. I just didn't want him to be, I didn't want to, yeah. I felt threatened and I didn't want to get hurt. So I had to be nice.
Right.
And for me, both of the ways as a clinician, there's some complexities, but in general, the way to get out of fawning or to get out of freezing and fleeing is to come into the fight part of the healthy aggression in the nervous system, which also can just look like standing your ground, asking for more time, saying you're not sure, but actually being able to put your voice in the space. And I try to explain too to women, like we're being placed in a very challenging nervous, forget about social position, but nervous system position, where we would be in a space where ideally we would be protected. And so we wouldn't need that healthy drive, would just be directed towards the event that we're doing. It wouldn't have to be protecting our space at the same time as we're also giving birth. And so it's a challenging task that we're often given, but like you, I found that there's remarkable resilience and recovery when it comes to birth trauma. So I don't want to normalize it, because birth practices definitely need to change. Providers need more support. The structure needs more support. But, you know, we are talking right now in the middle of a global pandemic where the rules are changing all the time and the kind of support is changing. When we have information about how the nervous system works, oftentimes that can be the missing puzzle piece. Yes. That helps us transform so that we can understand and renegotiate in present time that which we couldn't do in the past, and therefore have more power creatively, sexually, and also for bonding available to us going forward.
Yes, absolutely. Exactly. Good. I agree. And I have seen women just suddenly feel like, oh, this, I'm just normal. I'm like, there's nothing wrong with me. Like, often that's how they take it upon themselves, because there's nobody there naming and normalizing what happened. And once they get the reflection and some tools, then they can heal, and then they stop carrying around this burden that there's something wrong with them, or they did something wrong, or that they're bad, or they're not a good mother. Sometimes that's a very common response as well.
Mm-hmm. Or the separation that comes in the partnership that then kind of gets placed on something else, mm-hmm. because no one's really looked at the step-by-step sequence of how the birth happened. And sometimes it's not something that's so big or so egregious, but because our systems are so open with that, you know, hopefully with the oxytocin framework, and we're in an altered state. And right. In that state, small things make big impacts in both the negative and the positive direction. Mm-hmm. So it's also easy for people from the outside to say, well, why can't you get over that? And like, why are you still talking about that? Or your baby's healthy and you're doing fine. And there's so many ways that out, because, and it's really not those people's fault necessarily either, because they don't understand how trauma works, and they don't understand that it's not what happened, it's how you processed what happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, one of the things that we're really working with providers now to really understand is just how women respond to pain sometimes. And what can look like a woman really coping well is actually her in a freeze state. And so, and also for their partners, whether or not there are other women or men that are keeping them company, they can also have a deep freeze that starts to come on in the face of what needs to happen sometimes. So really helping to providers to identify these states. And that's what you're really an expert in. It's helping them identify what these states are, how they show up, and then how we can heal them if we're looping. Often that's what leads to heal us, that there needs to be a place for all this energy to land and then get sorted out and integrated. So
absolutely. And I mean, I'm 100% in that category. I was totally in a freeze. And my midwife afterward said to me, well, she said I was difficult, which really impacted me at the time. Cause I was like, wow, I didn't ask for anything. That's how I thought. I was difficult. I didn't ask you for anything. But that's because I was in a freeze, and because I was a meditator and a yoga practitioner, I knew how to be in that silent state that was not responsive. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to, if you don't know what you're looking for, it's hard to distinguish that from a trance state. It's hard to distinguish that from relaxation, mm-hmm. but it's so important. I hope as a culture, not that, because we are starting to use trauma language, lots of people are using it, but using the language doesn't mean having a felt sense understanding of it. And so I'm hoping that we're not going to skip that step, and that with our work and some of the other work that's happening, people actually start to understand in real time when it's happening for them and when it's happening for someone else, because that's when sexual boundary violations often happen, when someone goes into a freeze and the person's not trying to be aggressive, not trying to transgress boundaries. They're just not noticing that someone isn't, they're not noticing what's not happening. Right. And so when we are in a position of power, it's hard to know how that power is impacting the other person, because we don't often perceive ourselves as powerful or as having privilege. It's kind of an unseen thing that we have to develop an awareness around. So I'm hoping that was part of my intention for Call of the Wild, was instead of using sort of pat language that has a morality to it, that maybe if we took it into animal language, we could take the morality out of it and have a common language where we have more space to negotiate and communicate and hopefully have better relationships and have, you know, better outcomes of how these things go.
Yes. Yes. And you've done a wonderful job of embodying the animal and the jaguar. And you have now these classes that you offer, and the whole series that you can offer for jaguar mamas and jaguars. I know that you told me what these are, mother circles and working with sexuality in different ways and essential basic skills for understanding the nervous system. Would you like just to tell people a little bit about if they can find you and learn more, Kimberly?
Yeah. And also, I wanted to mention, when I was talking with Kathleen Kendall Tackett earlier today, she was saying how there was a huge difference with the breastfeeding providers between who was process oriented and who was information oriented. Mm-hmm. And so from the mother's or breastfeeding person's experience, they didn't know which background the provider was coming from, but across the board, the providers who were coming from a more process-oriented place, who'd worked on their own story, were the ones who got much better results, even in terms with like the length that someone breastfed for.
Oh, interesting.
And so for me, that's really validating for the work that I do, because I'm really about helping people understand ourselves. And I believe that when we understand, and not understand cognitively, but like really, I don't think that I could help people the way that I do if I didn't have the birth experience that I had, which doesn't mean that everyone has to go out and have a bad birth experience.
Right.
But we tend to think, many clinicians think, well, I'm just going to go learn about this thing and I'm going to learn the facts about it. But it's so much more about understanding our own impact and understanding how it's happening from moment to moment with our parenting, with our partners, with our clients. And so that's really what the courses are about. They're less professional training, but I do have my Activate Your Inner Jaguar course. I have people that take it 5, 6, 7 times because I don't have an advanced level. It's working on the basic skills, but wherever you're at in your life, you come back around to the information and it lands differently. Because I mean, obviously polyvagal theory is like very complex and like those books are very hard to read, but there are some very simple nervous system principles, including orientation. What does orientation mean? It means some of the time looking around the space you're in and noticing where you are, and some of the time being able to look in your inner world. The ability to feel pleasure. You cannot heal trauma without feeling some kind of pleasure or resource. Mm-hmm. Those things are simple. That doesn't mean they're easy, but I find that there's a lot of emphasis now on like the complexity. And my job in this world is like as a messenger to make things that were specialized, concise, simple, and accessible so that people could really come back to those principles and even teach them to their children or teach them to their partner. Yeah. In a way that just provides a common language. So that's what my courses are about. There's a mother circle, which I like to take new moms, and that could be 1 year to 5 years. Some of the people who join are like 15 years, but they just like to be, even my assistant who's not a mom, that's her favorite course I teach because it's just such good vibes. And it's the place where you can go and talk about all those things that sometimes there's not another place where people understand all the connections. Mm-hmm. And then there's the Activate Your Inner Jaguar, which I usually do different variations, whether it's movement or breath or birth or, you know, different emphases. and then the sexuality courses, and they're all at KimberlyAnnJohnson.com. And then I'm on Instagram, and then the podcast is Sex, Birth, Trauma. And the podcast I've had also for 4 years. So there's about 140 episodes, including ours. And that's where I can be found at the moment. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I will definitely make sure that there are links to those in our show notes today. And I just, again, want to really appreciate you, Kimberly. I mean, I felt like I've been building towards trying to create something for people. And the training that I do have, I see women getting better right away. I see my graduates being successful right away. And it is my dream to have a new professional that can throw their stake in the ground right next to the hospitals that are primarily the place where we go to have our babies, and really help staff, help birthing families recover from these difficult births, to become more trauma-informed, but from a more embodied place. And it's all through the gaze of the autonomic nervous system. And once you become more fluent in that, and then you can name things and understand what truly happens at birth, because it is complex and it is varied. And sometimes women and their partners can drop into their own early trauma, their own developmental trauma, or their ancestral trauma, which my partner and I, my midwife partner, she calls ghosts, maternity ghosts and echoes. And so we now have the capacity to name, to point out all the layers of someone's experience. This little sentence, "I had a baby," can become so much more. And then you can weave it together in a way that these families begin to feel whole again. So we're all working together, you and I, and in this Birth in Pieces upcoming event with Molly Carol May, who I just never met before. Also, she's going to be doing a little bit of introducing us to the importance of birth story, and Kathleen Kendall Tackett, who will give us an overview of the birth trauma research.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I love Molly. Her book came out the same time as the fourth trimester, and we taught a workshop together. And it's so important, the sense making aspect of things, that includes sense in all of our senses. And that's what she's really good at. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Yes, it was exciting to talk with her as well. And I feel like weaving everything together and having you two join Kathy and I in this one day event will be nourishing for women, for families, hopefully for providers as well. And we're hoping to really change the culture of birth, and also just improve birth outcomes and health outcomes, just lifelong. So thanks for coming on the show today. I know we have so much more we could talk about, but we will again another day. So I'd like to ask you what I ask all my guests, which, what makes your life more beautiful, Kimberly?
Well, I feel pretty lucky that I have an ocean view from the place where I'm sitting right now. So the ocean is always a big resource for me. I love to swim in the ocean. I love to walk by the ocean. I went paddling on Hawaiian outriggers over the weekend with my daughter. And then also my daughter's always making my life more beautiful.
Yeah. Wow. Sounds wonderful. Like you have a good life there out on the west coast of the U.S. So thanks again for coming, Kimberly, and we'll see you in January for sure.
Perfect. Thank you.
You've been listening to A More Beautiful Life podcast. To support our show, please go to Patreon / A More Beautiful Life.